For over 275 years, Faneuil Hall in Boston, Massachusetts, has been a place for meetings, debates, and protests. It is a French name, but it's pronounced Faneuil, like the name Daniel. As the tour guide says in his wonderful Boston accent, it's the wrong way to pronounce it, but that's how we say it. Similar to that legendary basketball team, the Boston Celtics. It was built as a meeting house on the second floor of the market in 1742. And over the years, because of the meetings that took place there during the Revolutionary War period, it earned the nickname the Cradle of Liberty. It's one of the sites on the Freedom Trail because the Sons of Liberty protested and dissented against royal oppression, protesting things like the Sugar Act and the Stamp Act. And since then, it's been a place of debates and protests by abolitionists, suffragists, and others. The only unaltered part of Faneuil Hall is the weather vane that's perched high on the roof. It's in the shape of a grasshopper, and it's seen a great deal of history, always pointing in the direction of the winds of freedom. In 1974, though, the weather vane went missing. It was stolen. And the chief investigator of the case was a direct descendant of Paul Revere. And for weeks, they tried to find the culprit, but then the culprit ended up coming to them. It turned out that a steeplejack that had worked on the roof had stolen the weather vane and hidden it away, but he was arrested on other charges. But under those hot lights, he admitted to stealing the weather vane and returned it, and it still stands there today. Like this weather vane, we need constant reminders of the direction in which the winds of freedom are blowing. And even reminders of what they mean for our faith. As that noted Baptist historian and friend of this congregation, Bill Leonard, says, all American Christians must work together these days to distinguish between religious liberty and religious privilege. The Apostle Paul knew full well what it meant to follow the winds of freedom, as he writes in his letter to the Galatians, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Well, Paul found himself in the middle of this storm. Winds blowing in all kinds of direction. He's trying to raise his finger up to discern in which direction the winds of freedom are blowing. There's this debate about whether circumcision is required or not. People pulling in all different directions. Paul trying to search for clarity on this subject. And he feels the winds blowing in the direction to where this is no longer required. So much so that elsewhere in Galatians, he writes in ink, there is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There's no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. No longer Jew or Greek, that circumcision is no longer necessary. That all that is important is an act of faith. No longer Jew or Greek. This was more than just the theological whims of the day. It was a movement of the Spirit of God. Now, Paul did not always feel that way, as we know. He was once called Saul, and when you read about his life, when those around him called him Saul versus Paul, it feels as if you are reading about two completely different people. Because Saul certainly thought there was a clear difference between Jew and Greek. And he did everything he could to keep it that way, persecuting the early church when it started to move and change in these ways. That Saul was interested in controlling faith, not inviting faith. And it's easy to get those two things confused. Paul, on the other hand, was no longer interested in controlling faith. He no longer wanted to claim God's favor. He just wanted to give it away. And the winds of religious freedom only make room for faith. They never control it. It's like when you're a child and your parents say, "Guess what? Some family friends are coming over. We've known them for years, even though you haven't met them. And they have children your age. We want you to be friends with them." And you know what they mean, but you think to yourself, "Friends? How can I be friends with them? I don't even know them. I can play with them. We can get along. I can be kind." But friendship requires a choice on both sides. It's what it makes. It's why friendship is so sacred and valuable. And it is the same with faith, that God loves us no matter what. And God always chooses us. But out of love, God has given us the freedom to choose. It's why it is so sacred. And it is a choice that religious liberty protects. And in many ways, Baptists have been the weather vane for the winds of religious liberty. As John Leland, that Baptist preacher from centuries ago, once wrote, "Government has no more to do with the religious opinions of people than it has to do with the principles of mathematics." That you can't control either one of those. It is hands off for them both. Leland was born in 1754. He was known as this fiery preacher. For his zeal for evangelism and as an advocate for the separation of church and state. He first lived in the Massachusetts Bay Colony, but he decided to pack up and move out, going to Virginia because it was said there was more religious tolerance there. But even in Virginia, at first, when things were just getting going, the Anglican Church was the official religion of Virginia. So even there, John Leland was beaten and put in prison for his Baptist beliefs. Shortly after our independence from Britain, we were governed by the Articles of the Confederation. But a new constitution needed to be written. Well, John Leland, as fiery as he was, spoke up against the proposals of James Madison, someone else from Virginia. He was against the proposals Madison had for constructing this new constitution because there were no provisions for religious liberty. And he was tired of going to jail. So Leland went as far, using his influence in that region, saying he was going to run against Madison and take his seat as a representative from Virginia. So one afternoon, there was a knock at Leland's door, and it was a courier inviting him to have a meeting with James Madison. So this Baptist preacher and this framer of the Constitution sat down under a tree in an orchard to talk about the matters at hand. And Leland was clear. It was like he was giving an altar call. Under no circumstances would he support Madison's proposals if there were no provisions for religious liberty. And if it came to it, he was going to run against Madison. Well, Madison agreed. And as we know, in the First Amendment written by Madison, there are clear provisions for religious liberty. There's even a monument that sits in that location where the two met, presented by the Sons of the American Revolution, saying, "Elder John Leland, courageous leader of the Baptist doctrine, ardent advocate of the principles of democracy, vindicator of separation of church and state." It's quite the prologue. Near this spot, in 1788, Elder John Leland and James Madison, the father of the American Constitution, held a significant interview, which resulted in the adoption of the Constitution by Virginia. Then Madison, a member of Congress from Orange, Virginia, presented the First Amendment to the Constitution, guaranteeing religious liberty, free speech, and free press. Leland was also a courier of sorts. He hand-delivered a letter from the Danbury Baptist Association of Connecticut to Thomas Jefferson, where they were pleading for religious liberty, for Jefferson to stand on the side of that very freedom. And Madison was also encouraged by Thomas Jefferson to include provisions for religious freedom. Thomas Jefferson even sat down to write a letter back to the Danbury Baptist Association. "I contemplate with sovereign reverence that act of the whole American people, which declared that their legislature would make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, thus building a wall of separation between church and state." As I think about what takes place in this room each week, the conversations that we try to have, the questions that we seek with one another, the love of God that we try to embed ourselves in, coming out with the love of neighbor, the fact that we feel authentic conviction and the freedom to choose, and as sacred as that is, I am so grateful for for Baptists and others, both then and now, that have paid close attention to the winds of religious liberty for all people. Because that liberty is the ground upon which authentic faith can grow. Because it only makes room for faith. It never tries to control it. May we pay close attention to those winds as well. Amen.